Dave, can you tell us a little bit about how you got started as a photographer?
Really through travel. I spent several years travelling, hitchhiking and walking through Europe, North Africa. The very first camera I bought, actually, bought from what's now the university, which is kind of nice. The very first camera I bought was just to go travelling and to record and document what I was doing. It wasn't until I got back that I realised, because those times I was shooting all my film and carrying the film with me, not getting it processed as I was travelling. And it wasn't until I got back from travelling and actually saw the very first photographs I'd taken that I realised that I was actually interested in what I'd been doing. So again, through travel.
And how did that continue into your, when you recognised that you wanted to do something with photography, how did that continue into your practice?
I think really all the work that I've been doing is kind of related to travel in some shape or form. Early on I was doing lots of fell walking, mountain climbing, and really interested in the view, the vista. From an early stage of the photography, it became just using it as a tool to document and record the journey, but specifically to record the achievements, actually being reaching the summit and recording that achievement. But the photography continued whilst I was at university and developed into realising that I was actually really interested in documenting, recording the journey itself, and the length of the journey became kind of fundamental, really important in the work. I was kind of frustrated, I suppose, with the limitations of photography, the fact that the cameras I was using weren't able to fully record the length of time that I was interested in, and the static image somehow didn't really fulfil my expectation of or my realisation of the journey. So I went into film for a short time, and developing ideas with cine film, and then the cine film came back into photography, and ultimately kind of ended up with me making hybrid cameras, beginning to pull cameras apart and kind of reverse engineering cameras, pulling things apart to see how they worked. And that progressed from there, I suppose.
When you discuss your practice, or when we think about your practice, what is the... Are the both sides of your practice, the way in which you work, what is most important? Is it the building of the camera or the photographs? Are both equally important?
They start off equally important, but the construction of the camera seems to become more important because it's each project I work on, the language of the image becomes the most important part, and developing the cameras to be able to realise an image, developing from different concepts, different approaches to the journey, to the land, to recording the land, and using different devices to enable the production of a very specific form of image for the kind of image I want to make for that place. As an example, I suppose, an early camera that I made was constructed using two LPs, and using two LPs sandwiching a sheet of film together in order to record and produce a 360-degree panoramic image. The two LPs sandwiched a sheet of film with a box camera built in front and a brass handle on the back, and as the camera is rotated through 360 degrees, the camera records a circular image. Depending on how the camera is used, you can either end up with the near ground running around the outside of the image and the sky running around the centre, or the sky running around the outside and the near ground running around the centre, depending on how the cameras operate. Mm. So the cameras themselves are designed kind of in response either to the specific landscape that I'm working with or particular concepts that I'm interested in at that point in time. I suppose they're always progressing and always changing and developing.
So what comes first? Is it the idea, is it the place or the project that you want to photograph, or is it the camera? that comes?
It depends. With lots of places, I've been inspired by the landscapes themselves, and the camera's kind of developed in a response to the landscape. With others, it's been the opposite. So I've actually worked with the camera as a conceptual construct, as an idea. So kind of shaping and forming the camera around. For example, I'm really interested in mapping and surveying and charting of landscape. So all the cameras that I work with kind of are an attempt to formulate a language around the representation of landscape. So they work in different ways. It depends. Different projects have different directions.
Are there particular kinds of locations, particular kinds of places?
Yeah, I'm really interested in kind of boundaries and peripheries. I'm really interested in either political boundaries or ancient boundaries, ancient pathways. For example, I've done lots of work on ancient paths, ancient landmarks. A big piece of work shot at Giza in Egypt, walking between the two of the big pyramids at Giza, between Mycenae and Chephren. And that was a walking piece, which my work's kind of developed into. This came, again, from travel. I spent some time, through my last big journeys, I spent some time living in a Buddhist monastery in Italy. And I was introduced to meditation, but specifically while I was there, I was introduced to a walking meditation, where the Buddhist monks actually taught me in their orchard to focus on the ground 4 feet in front of your feet as you're walking, and to walk consciously and very, very, very slowly, very calmly, but to always be focused on that point of ground in front of you, never to stray from that point, just 4 feet in front. From that process, from being interested in that form of meditation, I started to get into creating images that were about the walk, that actually the walk as a meditation. So these walk images became a way of me connecting with the landscape. And I suddenly realised that actually that was much more what I was interested in, the physical relationship between me and the scale of the landscape and the scale of the journey. So the camera would document and record the length of an entire journey, whether it be 1 hour or whether it be 24 hours, and a constant exposure walking through the land.
When you talk about your work in those terms, which is, it's really interesting, but there's also this strong sense of it, of the process involved, and some of those, the process seems to be quite endurance-led. You know, there's a kind of a real sense of almost performance involved in it as well. Is that an aspect of the work?
Yeah, it's a huge amount. I suppose going right the way back to university days, I was one of my tutors at university was Keith Arnott. And Keith's performance work, I suppose, was helped me shape the work that I was doing. The performance element really... it wasn't a conscious decision at the time when I started out. I didn't think I was making performance pieces, but it was much more an attempt to document and record the entire length of the journey. But you're right, there is an element of endurance, the process, and actually walking either through these meditative walks, which last either, as I say, for an hour, maybe 2 hours, maybe 4 hours sometimes, in some extreme cases. Like Giza, for example, where I spent 24 hours creating one image, where the camera that I was using at that time uses an entire roll of 120 or 220 film, and the length of film is exposed continuously through the camera, so it's pulled incredibly slowly through the camera whilst the camera rotates. At this point in time, I was using the camera mounted onto a tripod, and using everything that I had available at that time. In this case, I was using my tent poles as an extension to the camera handle. And around the tripod, I marked around the tripod with 24 stones, marking where I needed to be in each hour segment. I got prepared for the piece. It was shot on Midsummer's Day in Giza. In around about 43 degrees centigrade, and spent walking in a circle, just walking 360 degrees in 24 hours, walking a total distance of around about 10 metres But walking 24 hours, taking 10 metres, so walking at a pace which was around about a centimetre every minute, and concentrating again. But this is where the meditation actually came in, that it became a very, very meditative process. What was interesting about the piece of work was the negative was terrible.
But that doesn't matter, does
it? No, it didn't. I mean, it's completely overexposed, and it was completely trashed. But for me, the process was more interesting, and it was actually as interesting ending up with a negative that the image was completely obliterated. Mm. It was as interesting as actually having a perfect panorama.
Oh, I suppose a question that springs to mind from what you've just said is really the question about what the outputs are. What's left from your journeys and from your exploration of the technology or the camera itself. What are the outputs? And how do you show that work?
Well, they come in a number of different forms. I'm kind of really interested, because of the mapping and the charting and surveying, I'm really interested in scale. Scale becomes incredibly important in the work. And in a language that connects back to mapping, I'm kind of interested in the scale of the image. So either the work is produced on a one-to-one scale, so they're contact print, and absolutely, you know, it's as direct a relationship to the photograph as possible. I prefer working with negative rather than transparency, because there's a lot more latitude with the negative, so I can get away with a lot more variance within exposure, which through a 24-hour period there's a big variation in exposure. But it's either contact print or large scale, so the prints end up 20 inches wide, up to kind of 30, 50 feet in length, depending on the work. And the idea there is that the viewer's kind of invited to get involved in that journey again, to kind of travel along the image and get involved in the process.
And physically walking along the lens.
Physically walking along it, but not being able to view the image in its entirety in one piece. They have to take time over the piece again.
Would you ever consider, have you ever shown the cameras as part of the work?
Yeah, I have done in the past. I mean, the cameras have become more and more the work, I suppose. They've developed into becoming more and more sculptural objects, which happen to make images. And I've become maybe obsessed with the technology, with creating and constructing. And again, it's kind of interesting to talk about endurance, because the cameras themselves have become a kind of a test of endurance, working on the last one for 20 years now. All of the cameras, they kind of have this kind of Heath Robinson quality to them, either using materials or equipment that are available, or maybe bastardizing, pulling apart, deconstructing, and reconstructing cameras. For example, a really nice example is the very first series of panoramas I ever made were this link between photography and film, and using an old Kodak Brownie 8mm cine camera, which was clockwork. I suddenly realized that actually all the films that I'd been making, which were still kind of connected into photography, and the photography I was doing, I really wanted to make moving images, but make still moving images. And suddenly it was a realisation with the cine camera that I've actually just placed it on top of my still camera. I could actually use this as a motor to drive the film through the camera. So there's a kind of... What I loved about that first camera was it was... the object made sense. There was a real connection between the cine film, the moving film camera, and the still image camera, becoming this kind of hybrid that created an image which was neither a movie nor a still. And I kind of like the object to kind of describe exactly what it does. So again, with the record camera, there's something quite beautiful about these two records recording an image.
From the way in which you describe your practice, it does seem that there's an element of chance that you're open to, that sometimes you just don't know whether it's going to work or not.
Yeah, that's what, exactly. I mean, There are more cameras that I've made that haven't succeeded than have, but that's part of it. The fact that some cameras have literally disintegrated as I've used them. And that's become part of the image as well, which I've become interested in, the fact that somehow there's an element of self-destruction in there as well. But yeah, there's a great deal of playfulness with it. I kind of like the childlike qualities with some of the work that I deal with. As an example, kind of going to Stuttgart and researching and finding a company that sold the motor used on Lego models. To construct a motor that slows down incredibly the speed that the film comes through, so it will record anywhere between 1 hour and 24 hours. But there's a kind of a playfulness with the mechanisms, I suppose, for creating the work. And that side of it I quite like. Again, there's a kind of quirkiness to the cameras, I suppose, that I enjoy.
Yeah. Mm. Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thanks.